WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Getting ready for the 2013 Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season, and we've got a big show for you tonight. Now, you've probably heard this weekend is a big event in the world of sports. I know it's not racing, but yes, there's an event that they call the Super Bowl going on, and we're going to speak with a couple of drivers, one of which has a big stake in the game. Ron Capps is a huge 49ers fan. We're going to kind of take his temperature as he gets ready for the game. Now, he's had a lot of success on the racetrack and as a football fan. His Niners have won many Super Bowls, but we'll see what Ron has to say about this game and how he's handling the Har Bowl, number one. Also on the show, Erica Enders Stevens. That's right, Erica Enders back from getting married, back from the honeymoon, getting ready for Pomona just weeks away. It's right around the corner. We'll check in with Erica and, of course, get her pick for the big game. Got a lot to talk about. We start off each show the same way with NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt, who is starting off 2013 in a big, big way. In fact, he's been on fire. Alan, welcome back.
Well, great to be back, Joe. I wasn't exactly on fire.
No, the pictures that were tweeted looked close enough to me.
It was definitely closer than I wanted it to be. The building that houses my shop.
This is my fire sound effect, by the way. It kind of sounds a lot like static.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was my phone again. No, the building that houses my shop actually had a fire. The unit next door to mine burned up pretty bad. But tip of the cap to the Tucson Fire Department. They got in, got it controlled, and kept it stuck to the one unit. So aside from the fact that my shop smells a little bit like smoke, and let's just say when the firemen want in to make sure the fire's not coming through the wall into my shop, nothing was going to keep them out. So had a little damage to repair there, but in the grand scheme of things, I came through it okay, and the firemen did just a fantastic job keeping the fire contained to the one unit. So you know, when you're driving to work and you realize that, oh my God, that's my building that's burning. That's kind of a bad feeling, but my shop didn't get anywhere near as bad as it could have been, so I'm very grateful for that.
Well, that is great news, and of course, we feel very happy that everything and your 50 vehicles went unscathed, of course. But as someone who follows you on Twitter, it was very exciting to watch all the information coming down.
It was plenty exciting to stand in the parking lot and watch them battle the fire, let me tell you. But again, the Tucson Fire Department just did a fantastic job. It was a pretty intense fire in the unit that burned. The unit that burned is really used just for storage, and there was plenty of stuff in there to fuel the fire, but so they kept it contained, they kept it to the one unit, and damage to the rest of the building was minimal. The rest of it was just a matter of, you know, a couple of headaches, getting the power turned back on, getting clearance from the city to come back in and getting that kind of stuff, but all I have to do, if I think I'm having a bad time, all I have to do is walk next door and realize that it could have been way worse. So I'm grateful for me that it turned out the way it did. Nobody got hurt. There was some property damage. But, hey, that's why we all pay our insurance premiums, right?
Absolutely. And if you're not, that's a good reason to start, because anything can happen at any time. Sometimes when you're paying insurance, you feel like you're just paying for nothing, but you're actually paying for something that can come in very handy.
Yeah, the strangest thing about it, and I guess, you know, you just get so used to it, but being in the shop after it was over with, and the fire was actually on a Friday, so we couldn't get the power back on, couldn't get the building restored and stuff until over the weekend, even though we weren't locked out of it. But it's just so strange, you know, you walk into the restroom, flip the switch on, the light doesn't come on. Oh, yeah. It's like, well, you know what, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I got some project, I don't have any air. And, you know, my office, my shop is also my office. That's, you know, where my computer is, that's where I do all my stuff, and not having access to any of that was, just a reminder of how much stuff you take for granted sometimes.
Isn't that the truth? From top to bottom, from the guys who showed up to put out the fire to the fact that the electricity is everything in our lives and we need it to do everything, top to bottom, computers, paying your bills, checking in on the internet, listening to WFO radio, it is all interconnected. And when those guys show up to put out the fire or the police department, you really realize how interconnected everything is. Well, we're very happy that you were okay.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that the fire stayed on the other side of the wall. And, I feel bad for Mike, the guy that has the unit that burned, but it was, you know, a storage unit. So, you know, it didn't really affect his livelihood, his income, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a huge headache and it's a huge loss, but nobody got hurt. And, you know, for the most part, stuff can be replaced. So, again, thank you to the Tucson Fire Department for the job that they did. And the rest of it will patch up and go on.
Absolutely. Now, we've got some questions for you tonight. And if you've got a question for Alan, you can get it to us by calling it in, 954-889-6796, or you can email it or tweet it at me, or there's a million ways. You can follow us, WFO Radio, on Twitter, or me personally, WFO Joe. Some news, Alan, and some subjects I want to touch on first and foremost, then we'll get to the questions, okay?
Let's go.
First of all, I saw that we didn't get to it last week because it was kind of just happening, the new format National Dragster. It arrived in the mail last week. The Alan Reinhart column, very prominently featured in the first third of the magazine, which I thought, well, that's great. No longer on the back page, real close to the front. But I'm going to talk about this in depth a little later on in the show, but I wanted to get your perspective. This is a big change. A lot of people are kind of talking about this. Is this a step forward? Is it a step back? What does it all mean? Dragster is changing. It's going to be available digitally. What do you think about it?
Well, in the first place, the whole world is changing. So if you don't change with it, you're just going to get run over. There's no question about that. You know, personally, I kind of like the back page.
Oh, yeah?
I used to always get the Dragster flipped to the back page to see, you know, if it was me or if it was Bob or whose column was back there that week. The format change, I think, is something that was necessary. You know, you look at the fact that these days, no matter how fast they turn that stuff around, you know, if you figure 2 weeks between when they want to run the Winter Nationals and when they get the magazine to publication, and then another 4 or 5 days or whatever you get in your mailbox, everybody has seen the race on ESPN2. Everybody has been online. It's been discussed. It's been talked. It's been TiVo'd. It's been DVR'd. It's been beat to death. Having a magazine show up then that gives you the race results is really old news. You know, the fact that everybody, or the vast majority of people, are getting their information online, getting it on TV, getting it in real time or very close to real time, means that you need to adjust a little bit. You know, there are always going to be a number of stories, a number of things going on, a number of things happening that don't make the television broadcast, that are the behind-the-scenes stuff, that are the inside stories that aren't necessarily going to be published daily in any of the online forums either. And I think that's the role that National Dragster is trying to fill now. And I think it, necessary evolution. take my column completely out of the mix, but there were a number of on-the-run columns and a number of stories about, you know, hey, what these people did during the off-season, or what's going on with this team, or what these plans are, you know, the bits from the pits and all the silly season changes and all the scorecard stuff that is news that is going to be interesting, that's not necessarily time sensitive, and I think that's where the print magazine is going. Obviously, you can click online anytime you want and find out exactly what happened today, exactly what the race results are, exactly what the news of the moment is, but as far as the in-depth, as far as the behind-the-scenes, I think they're planning on doing more tech articles, more sportsman features, more things like that are very interesting stories that will still be relevant no matter what time the magazine shows up in your mailbox. And you know, you can't argue with the quality of the publication. You know, know, the full color stuff, the full page, the photography is just amazing. And it's certainly, you know, it's a change and it's a transition, but I think it was something that was necessary, and I think everybody's going to be used to it within 3 months.
Absolutely gorgeous, and I like it and agree. I'll go in depth a little bit later on citing some examples, but you know, with WFO Radio, we had to make that decision a while ago, digital. And it's where everything's going, the devices, the people getting their news up to the second as opposed to when the news is available. And so I think it is a necessary evolution. I can't wait to see it in practice. This is the first edition, and Phil Burgess promises that it's going to be morphing and changing and growing and developing, and I am looking forward to it. And whatever it takes to keep Dragster going and growing, and big backbone of NHRA drag racing. All right, we got a couple questions for you this week, Alan. A couple people have weighed in and got various questions. You ready to roll?
Oh, sure. My favorite thing, Stump the Dummy. When do we start racing again so we can quit doing this?
We're going to keep it going throughout the off season and throughout the year. They've been all very nice questions from nice people.
All right, let's see what we got.
All right, Brian in Brownsburg, first up.
Hey, Joe, this is Brian from Brownsburg, Indiana again. I think we got cut off. But anyway, my questions were, I don't know if Alan Johnson and Vincent Nobile were ever officially teammates or if he's just a customer. And I was just curious as to where this leaves him now that Jed Coughlin and Alan Johnson are teammates. And I was also wondering, too, if you guys knew whatever happened to Brad Personette. You know, he came out a few years ago with the Turbo Car, won the U.S. Nationals and went pretty well, and then just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. So answers are appreciated. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Questions from Brian in Brownsburg.
Well, as far as Vincent Nobile and Alan Johnson, you know, I don't believe that they ever would have called themselves teammates, quote, but all you had to do was watch them at the racetrack, and you knew that there were no secrets between the two of them. Mark Ingersoll, Alan Johnson's crew chief, was always on the starting line when Vincent's car was running. Big Kenny and John Nobile, Vincent's dad, were always up there when Alan was running. They shared information. If you ever saw them back in the pits, they were in and out of each other's trailers. They were looking at each other's computers. They were, you know, they might not have had the label teammate, but there is no question that they were operating as teammates. Right up until the fact that they had to race each other, and that happened a number of times. But Vincent is still going to be in good shape. He's still going to be getting engines from Alan Johnson's shop. The friendships that were developed and the camaraderie that was developed between those two teams is certainly not going to stop. So, you know, will they call themselves a third teammate? I don't know. Will they operate as one? Absolutely. And Vincent's going to be just as strong as he has been the last few years. There's no question.
And regarding Brad Personette.
You know, I'm not sure what happened to Brad. I do believe he's been running some of the NMCA, some of the streetcar stuff. You know, this year was the first year in a long time that I didn't do the Streetcar Super Nationals out in Vegas, but I knew in years past he's been part of that. I can't tell you that I have a definitive answer for that, but I can maybe do some research and have a better answer for next week, unless you know more than I do.
I do not know more than you do. I remember him just dominating with the turbocharged car and then some rules changes and then lost track.
Well, I'll chalk that up to something to look up before we come back next Tuesday.
One thing for Brian, he can go back into our archive and listen to an interview we did with Jeg to get Jeg's perspective on the whole deal. And what he told us was that he is a teammate of Alan.
And, you know, I think that's going to be good all around. Jeg has always surrounded himself with very good people. And while there are some that might tell you that too many cooks will spoil the soup, I think in drag racing, the more good minds you have working together, you know, you look at the transition with Alan Johnson's team when he brought Jim Yates on board, and it's not a matter of he didn't have qualified people, he didn't have smart people, it was a matter of just getting more smart people, getting another good perspective. You look at Schumacher's operation and how well all the crew chiefs work together, and even though each one runs their own car, but they still share information, they still, if one of them gets stuck, if one of them has a problem, they all put their heads together. You know, there's no such thing as too much brain power, so putting Jeg's guys together with Alan's guys will make the whole team stronger. And again, Vincent is absolutely part of that equation. Whether he has the title teammate or not isn't going to make any difference. His car is definitely part of that team.
And we spoke with Greg Anderson last week, and he realizes and acknowledges that that team is going to be tougher and better. The Mopar versus GM rivalry, it has been in existence, but now that both sides are winning and both sides are tough, I think it's going to be even better in 2013.
It's going to be a great year to be a Pro Stock fan. I think that, you know, nobody's going to win 10 races, I think the competition is just going to be amazing. You know, Mike Edwards is going to be good again, obviously. You mentioned the Summit team and, of course, the Dodgers. I'd love to see Larry Morgan pick up the performance a little bit and get back in the mix. Erica Enders last year proved that she is a legitimate contender week in and week out. If Richie Stevens can put together the financial wherewithal to get out there, he'll be another player. They bought all of Ron Krischer's old stuff, just looking for somebody to help financially to get that team out there on track. It's going to be a fun year in pro stock, and basically, you know, too close to call right from the start.
I agree, and we'll hear from Erica coming up on the show and run some questions past her. Next question, staying with pro stock, this one from Lonnie in Arkansas. Alan, just read your column in the new Dragster. Do you think Jeg really cares about finishing ninth? Isn't he just the ninth loser, especially as a four-time champ? Says Lonnie.
Absolutely. Are they satisfied with a ninth-place finish? No. Do they set their goals at the beginning of the season to finish? No, absolutely not. But if they miss the top ten in the first place, that would take care of his string of top ten finishes. He's been in the top ten every year that he's run a full season in pro stock. And that's one of those things that 20 years from now, you don't want to have that one blemish on your record. Ninth is not something that satisfies Jeggy, but 11th would have been exponentially worse.
Makes sense to me, and I can get it. I think probably both are true. Yes, of course, he's super bummed by a ninth, but on the flip side, you're right. The streak is intact.
It's a classic case of, you know, you were talking about the big game coming up. It's a classic case, to use that analogy, you know, who had the better season, a team that got blasted in the first round of the playoffs or the New York Giants?
Right.
You know, the defending Super Bowl champions did not make the playoffs. And, you know, if once you get there, you at least have a chance. You can at least say, we accomplished this in our regular season. We made the cut. We made the countdown to the championship. We made the playoffs. If it didn't go well after that, it didn't go well. But at least we made that goal. And everybody's goal at the beginning of the season is to make the countdown. And then you start thinking championship. So, you know, they certainly didn't have the season that they were hoping when they started. But one goal that was accomplished was making the countdown. And like I say, if you don't think that's a big deal, ask Shane Gray, who didn't make it. Ask Matt Hagan, who didn't make it. You know, ask the guys that finished 11th, 12th, 13th if being in the top 10 is a big deal. And it definitely is. That doesn't mean that all your goals were satisfied, but that is one goal that you accomplished, even if you didn't get everything you wanted.
Next question. Andy in Maryland wants to know, Alan, saw Dixon is entered at Pomona. Do you think it is a good idea to try and rush to make the first race? Says Andy.
I don't believe they're rushing. You know, you look at the fact that Santo Rapazarta had the team in place. He's got the team members. He's got, you know, the transporter. He's got the race cars. Are they updating equipment? Are they making some changes? Yeah, absolutely. But these guys aren't coming from nowhere to throw it all together and try to make Pomona. They are taking a team that was competitive last year. They are taking a team that ran well at times last year. They're making their changes to it, including a driver change in coming to Pomona. So I think they'll be fine. And I also, you know, anybody that wants to run a part-time schedule, I always want to see them start at Pomona because it's so much easier to get the hook set. If you go to Pomona, you have a good weekend. You don't have to win the race. You know, you win a round. You go to the semifinals. You make some noise. Phoenix is 400 miles and 1 week away. So if you have a good showing at Pomona, you're certainly not going to skip Phoenix. You come out of there, you're in the top 10 in points. Well, are you going to quit now or are you going to go to Gainesville? And you can start building momentum at that point. If you show up at Gainesville and you go to the semifinals or you go to the final and that's your first race of the season, you're still not going to be in the top 10. And that's kind of a decision maker a lot of times. You know, hey, if we're fifth or sixth, are we now going to go skip two races or are we going to try to keep this momentum going? So I think starting Pomona is big. The fact that Larry Dixon's a Southern California guy, I think it's big for him. He'll have a lot of family and friends there, and I'd love to see that team get off to a running start, and hopefully Santo will realize that, hey, we need to make the commitment. We need to run the entire 24-race season and give us another full-time car out there. That's what I'd love to see happen.
I agree completely, and Leah Pruitt told us last week, similar deal with the Doat family Top Fuel Dragster. They want to go and hopefully start off strong, and that'll give them some momentum in the boardrooms to say, hey, look, we're doing well. We want to keep going. We need some money. Get on board with this team. So I agree. If you're going to start the season, you got to show up at the first race.
Pomona should be fun, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the part-time teams. Tony Zizzo's going to be out there. TJ will be out there with his car. Of course, Brittany will be making her debut. Pomona Top Fuel is going to be fun. There could legitimately be a top 10 car or two from last year that doesn't qualify in Pomona. That's the quality and quantity of cars that we're going to have to kick off the season. It's going to be a fun year.
Absolutely is. Next question from our great friend from the Northwest Nitro Fanatics, Craig in Seattle. Let's see what Craig's got this week.
Hey, guys. Craig from Seattle here. I'm getting excited for Pomona. It's coming up. I cannot wait. Also, before I ask my question to Alan, we had a end around here on our race, our trip that we're going on. Not going to Norwalk. We're going to Chicago instead. We had a scheduling conflict, so I'm kind of pumped for that anyways because I know Chicago, as long as we're not having bizarre weather there, it's a good performance track, and the JEG All-Star, we're kind of pumped to go see. So we're on our Division 6 boys. My question is, Alan, you know we're buddies with Jody Lang here, and we root him on. He's our guy. And we all know what he does. He plays the finish line strategy, and, you know, when he's coasting across and qualifying at 68, 70 miles an hour, everybody knows what he's doing. My question is, with all these drag path cars and stock and super stock, you know, 8-second, 9-second cars, low 10, is it getting harder and harder for a guy like Jody to play that finish line strategy because these cars are coming up on him so fast? Or is it just a matter of it's your weekend if your weekend? Because I don't know if he's the best at playing that strategy, but he's one of the best, if not the best. But is it getting harder for him to play that kind of racing strategy? I just wanted to get your opinion on it. And can't wait to Pomona, guys. Great show as always, Joe. And we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Little finish line talk. What do you think, Alan?
Yes. Next question. Is it more difficult? Absolutely it is. For the simple reason that the speed difference is tougher. When you're trying to judge a foot at the finish line or 6 inches at the finish line, if the speed differential between the two cars is 5 or 6 miles an hour, then judging the closing rate and deciding, am I going to get there, am I going to have to turn the guy loose, what am I going to do, is an easier decision to make than if the closing rate is 40 miles an hour when you're trying to work it out to that, you know, like I said, 1 foot or 6 inches. Jody's absolutely one of the best. There's no question. There's a few of the guys that just, you know, they can see those thousandths of a second. That's, you know, the Pete Biondos, the Dan Fletchers, the Gary Stenitz, the Tommy Phillips. There are a number of the guys out there throughout the Lucas ranks that can do that. But it is definitely more difficult, especially in the slow car. If you're in the fast car, you're watching the race unfold in front of you, which is part of why so many of the super gas and super comp guys go with the big inch, big mile an hour combinations, because it's easier to look forward than to look over your shoulder and make that judgment. But a guy with the ability and the experience that Jody has is still going to win a lot of races. Is going to be very competitive no matter what. Is it more difficult when the car is going 40 miles an hour faster? Yes.
Take a second though to explain to maybe some of the listeners who don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, in stock eliminator racing and super stock racing, the vast majority of it is a bracket-style race where you dial in, you predict your lapse time, and then you have to run that. Now, if your prediction is 10 seconds and my prediction is 9 seconds, then you are going to have a one-second head start. I am going to be closing in on you. You have to determine, am I going to be able to run the number that I predicted? If you run quicker than that number, that's a possible disqualification, what they call a breakout. Obviously, if both cars do, then it goes back to the math and who's closer. But the decisions made at the finish line, it's if you're getting there first, you want to get there first by half an inch. If you're getting there second, you want to get there second by 8 feet. And that's part of the strategy that plays into driving the finish line and trying to make the judgment, am I going to be able to hold off a faster car closing in? Or if you're the faster car, am I going to be able to catch the guy before we get there? And the bigger the differential in speed between the two, the tougher it is to make that judgment.
I had a recent conversation with Antron at the test at PBIR, and it was kind of interesting for me because I've always kind of known but saw in practice at this moment that there are drag racers and then there are bracket racer, finish line, sportsman racer types. And the conversation that kind of developed was, Antron introduced me to a young junior dragster driver, and the kid had had some great success, and he was there with his father. And I asked the kid if he drove the finish line. And the dad said, no, he doesn't teach him to drive the finish line. He just dials honest, cuts a light, and runs it out. And me, personally, being Joe and, you know, what my experience I've had, I immediately thought that that was a bad idea. I didn't express this. But Antron thought it was a great idea because in drag racing, you got to drive it out and that finish line stuff is all funny business. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy is the Top Fuel world champion and doesn't like finish line driving. Like the concept of it, the idea of it, it's not the thing to do. And from my perspective, you absolutely have to drive the finish line if you're going to go anywhere in Super Gas, Super Comp, Bracket Racing, or otherwise. And so I just kind of thought it illustrated the little gulf between the finish line drivers and the drag racers.
It's an interesting school of thought, and I'm not saying which way's right and which way's wrong. There's guys out there that will always be dialing soft, holding a little bit, you know, if, and this is obviously an exaggeration, but if you know you can run 890, 8.9, they will dial 9 seconds flat, and then you have that tenth of a second in order to play with to work the finish line games. There have also been some really successful guys that figure, hey, if I can hit the tree at 15 or 20 every time and I can dial honest, one of the classic examples, and this is going back a few years, a guy named John Spar of B&M had a supercharged big block super comp dragster that would run 185 or 90 miles an hour when nobody else in the class was going much quicker than 165. I mean, he absolutely had the highest mile-an-hour car, couldn't win for nothing, and was playing basically the same strategy as everybody else. He sat down and talked to a couple of the racers. The car was very predictable. It was very adjustable. You could make it do what he wanted, and they told him, you need to do is sit here and set this thing on an 891. If you can make it run 891, set it on an 891, you're closing in at 185 or 190 miles an hour. This guy's going 160. He's got that much of a window, and if he screws up, you're going to be on the plus side. You don't have to worry about it. It takes all the pressure off you and puts all the pressure on the other guy, and that's not a bad thing. You know, if you know you're holding three, and you know that I'm a guy that dials honest and just holds my foot down and I'm going to put blinders on and go out the back door, well, you know what? If you're planning on cutting me loose, you can do that at the 60-foot mark. But you're the one that has to make the decision down there, not me. It takes the pressure off me. So it's a difference in strategy. And, you know, there's been a lot of finish line drivers that have had some success. There have also been some hard dialing guys. You know, Jimmy DeFrank for a number of years was dialed hard and holding it down way more often than he was playing a game at the finish line. And he certainly hasn't had, he doesn't have too many blemishes on his resume.
Absolutely not. I think it's just this is the conversation that happens out there, and just different schools of thought of what works and what doesn't work, and everyone has their own attitude about what works for them, or as you mentioned, depending on the type of car you have. That's why I think it's so similar to like playing cards. People have different things that they do in different situations, whether they want to take the responsibility onto themselves. Troy Williams would always tell me, you know, are you a driver or are you a rider? Right, you're a driver. You got to put the thing. You got to make the car do what you want it to do, and you got to take the stripe as narrow as you possibly can. And that makes a lot of sense. But it all depends on the situation, who you're racing your car, and what you're comfortable with.
There's so much gamesmanship and so much strategy that a lot of the casual fan in the grandstands maybe doesn't understand that's going on down there. But just so many mind games. One of the great things to do in drag racing is to go to Englishtown at the finish line tower. They've got a little bar and grill down there at the finish line, and watch the Lucas cars and see what they're doing and watch the strategies and watch them all play out. I remember this classic example, Gainesville final round, whatever, 4, 5, 6 years ago, Superstock, Dan Fletcher and David Rampe. Now, you're going to be hard-pressed to find two guys with more experience and two guys that know the game better than those two. So from a strategic standpoint, how do you get the advantage over the other guy, no matter which guy you are?
Right.
Well, what Fletcher did was he went back, put about 80 pounds in his car, because he knows if he changes the number on the window, David's going to go, oh, I know what you're doing. So he left the number the same, but he added enough ballast to the car to slow it down so that according to his calculations, he should be running dead on the dial or one over. And he said he was going to go up and try to hit the tree at 10 and just close his eyes and hold his foot down. And if David makes a mistake, he'll win. And if David can get in him, then that's that. And Dan ended up winning the race, but he said he was about to commit suicide from 1,100 feet to the finish line because he wanted so bad to whack the throttle, but knew that that wasn't the strategy. And that was, you know, just a little piece of the absolutely 100% legal gamesmanship that goes on out there, you know, every round, every race. That's why you see when the Lucas cars are running, you see so many people standing on the starting line, whether it's the wife, whether it's the girlfriend, whether it's, you know, they got their notebooks, they got their notepads. They used to all have their Game Boys out there and reading the numbers and keeping track of what every other car in the class does. So when I have to race that guy, I have a strategy. And the strategy he uses to race Joe Costello is probably not the same strategy that he's going to use to race David Rampe.
Very cool aspect of the sport that I wish and hope to be able to expose a little bit more. It's tough because here they come, two more. I kind of think that there maybe could be a reality television show devoted to it. I think if we can watch poker on TV, Alan, I think you throw some 180-mile-per-hour race cars into the mix, it could work.
I'm in. Yeah, let me know.
Let's do it. All right, final question this week for Alan Reinhart. If you got questions for next week, 954-889-6796. Joe at WFOradio.com. You can tweet at me, WFO Radio or WFO Joe. We have a million ways for you to connect. Send a question. We've got Ron Capps and Erica Ender Stevens coming up. Final question from Jim in Texas. Alan, who do you like in the big game?
San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was absolutely impressed with the job that the Ravens did last week against New England. But Colin Kaepernick showed me that he doesn't have to run to win, but he is such a distraction. You know, in that championship game, that was, I believe, that was the absolute difference. Is the defense was so focused on, we're going to have to stop him from running, we're going to have to stop him from running, and he went out there and beat him with his arm. But he really showed me something, the skill level that he's got considering his amount of time. And I also think that he has a huge advantage about, remember, you know the old story about he don't know what he don't know?
Yes.
He started 10 games and he's in the Super Bowl. You know, Joe Flacco's been in the league for how long? And, you know, up until this year, he was getting beat up a little bit in the press and in some of the, you know, the hardcore fans about not being able to go over the edge. I think Colin is going to be just like, wow, I can't believe this. Isn't this cool? You know, almost hold my beer and watch this. And I don't believe he's going to be feeling any of the pressure that the Ravens are. So I'm leaning towards San Francisco.
All right. Well, that having all been said, and I don't disagree, and what I will say is that this playoff season has been one of the most spectacular in terms of games. Kaepernick, I was one of the guys questioning the benching of Alex Smith. Like, really? You're going to do that? You know? And then I watched the guy play in the playoffs under the microscope and totally agree with the move. Wow, what a great move. The guy is the prototype of the quarterback of the future. Tall, can throw, can run, can do it all. Amazing. Frank Gore from the U, I like him. But that having been said, I'm with the Ravens. I like Joe Flacco. I'm an AFC guy. I love Ed Reed. I'm Hurt Dog from the U. I love Ed Reed. Ray Lewis, very passionate character, and I'd like to see them get over the top this time. But very cool, the Har Bowl, and then we find out that Jim Harbaugh is a Motorhead IndyCar owner who kind of quietly behind the scenes, that not a lot of people knew publicly that he was an IndyCar owner. We got to get him out to the drag strip.
Absolutely. We got to be able to figure that out somehow. I will tell you, I will not be surprised if Baltimore wins the game. And can you imagine the odds you could have got if you could have had anybody take action on the fact that Baltimore was going to hold New England scoreless in the second half?
Well, partly this makes me wonder if their luck will run out as well. How do you go into Denver on the road, I think it was a short week, and beat Peyton Manning, the number one seed, then go to New England and beat Tom Brady? It just seems very unlikely on all accounts.
Well, you know, when you're hot, you're hot. And right now they're on a roll. So I think it'll be a fun game. If it comes down to 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and we still don't know who's going to win the game, I think that'll be great. If it's, you know, 35-0 at halftime, then I'm not even sure I'll hang around for the ads.
The ads, the Kate Upton ad. You got to see the Kate Upton ad, especially you, big Mercedes guy that you are now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a bigger Mercedes guy than I want to be. If anybody wants to buy one, I got one.
You want, Al? Will you autograph it?
Sure.
The autographed Reinhardt edition Mercedes can be yours, folks. Contact us here at WFO Radio.
Yeah, it's an SL 320 95 model, and it's green. Just go back and Google anybody want to buy a truck.
There you go. Alan, great job as usual. And I'm sure the NHRA, when we had Tom Compton on a couple of months back, he says in terms of marketing and promotion, the NFL is pretty much the benchmark, which we all know. We got to hype our Winter Nationals coming up, not far away.
I'm looking forward to it. We might even have some race news next week. There is a National Open scheduled to take place at Speed World in Phoenix this coming weekend, and I'm going to be up there for that. So might not be any big pro team news coming next week, but hopefully we'll at least have a little racing action to talk about.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Alan, thank you so much. Great job.
Joe, always a pleasure. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Hopefully there won't have nearly as much excitement in my life this week.
Yes. Yeah. Let's keep it all calm and under wraps.
I'm on it.
All right, Alan. Thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio, and he's a Niners guy. He's a West Coast guy. I'm going for Baltimore. I'm an East Coast guy, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, we got a lot to get to on this show. Of course, we got Ron Capps. Ron Capps going to be on the show, going to talk with Ron about his Niners and what he thinks. Are they going to be able to win? Ron has been a big passionate fan, told me last year about the Niners, had a bet with one of our guys, Craig, and about the Seahawks, Craig. Poor Craig. So close. Sorry, Craig. Bummer. But we've got also some other things to get into. I'm going to comment about the new digital dragster and the new format of the National Dragster at the tail end of the show. Going to get into that. Also, NHRA is asking you to go on to ESPN.com and write in a drag racer. They're trying to pick the greatest athlete of all time. And when they came up with their five motorsports options, they did not include a drag racer. This is a horrific insult, and NHRA is asking you, the fans, to write in, because there is an option to write in someone that they perhaps missed, and this will be a great opportunity for the NHRA fan base to flex their muscles and show, hey, NHRA should be always included when you pick great racers. That having been said, who should you write in? And that is what I'm going to give you my opinion on. If everybody writes in their own different something, Warren Johnson, Grumpy Jenkins, Bob Glidden, Don Garlitz, Don the Snake, Tom the Mongoose, then it's not going to matter. But if all of the drag racing fans, since we're trying to accomplish something here, promoting the sport, decide on one write-in name, then maybe we can accomplish something. And so I will throw the WFO Radio endorsement and support behind one drag racer, who I will reveal a little bit later. And I would recommend that you use this name as your write-in so that we can accomplish something. This is just me saying what I think will be the best for the sport at this moment. Now, coming up on the show, we're going to hear from Erica Enders Stevens. What has she been up to? Getting married, honeymoon, getting ready for the season. We'll hear from Erica coming up a little bit. Her pick for the big game, of course. And then Ron Capps we've got coming up. Ron, big Niners guy. How's he living? How's he feeling? And of course, I will attack him very mildly about defeating my Miami Dolphins way back in the day in 1984. Joe Montana, Dan Marino. I was a little kid. I was disappointed. Yeah, bit of a bummer. But I don't want to recap too much of that. But all in all, big things coming. Also, special note, if you are wanting to be entered in the WFO Radio Fantasy Leagues, you have to email us, fantasy@WFOradio.com, something we do every year, trying to make sure it is listeners as opposed to just Facebook friends who are in our Fantasy League. That is a NASCAR Fantasy League, so check that out. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Ron Capps. Ron, football guy out there, Niners fan. Do they have what it takes, or will they be crushed underneath the boot of the Baltimore Ravens? We'll talk with Ron when we return, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. The polls have closed and your voice has been heard. WFO Radio is the Competition Plus Radio Show of the Year.
This is Paul Page, WFO.
This is Thomas Knuckles, WFO.
This is Ashley Forshood, WFO. Love ya.
The world has spoken. WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO radio gear. Like the WFO radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and as much as I'm a big drag racing fan and very excited about the start of the season, just weeks away in Pomona, we've got to get something out of the way first. We have to get the Super Bowl out of the way. Oh yes, the NFL, America's addiction. Some of our own drag racers, too, find themselves addicted. Joining us now, he'll be rooting like a madman this weekend, Ron Capps. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, man. Nice music. I like that.
The NFL, they got the marketing part of it down, don't they? They got music. You hear it. You know what? You know exactly what you're hearing. You're hearing the NFL.
Yeah. And you know, being on your show, I feel like I just won something. Because every time we would win a race, I get to be on WFO, so it feels like a good start to the season for me.
Well, that's nice of you to say. Maybe a premonition about your team. I got to thinking about this week's show. It's like, who, how, and I'm thinking, wait a second. One of our listeners a couple of weeks back, Craig in Seattle from the Northwest Nitro Fanatics, basically alerted our audience that he had made a bet with you about his Seahawks and your Niners, and apparently he owes you, and he's going to pay the bet in Pomona, so you might expect that. And that triggered my memory that, hey, Ron's a Niners fan. This is pretty important to you.
Yeah, well, I've been a Niners fan, and actually Tommy DeLago, one of my good friends, you know, he and I both grew up for a while up in the Bay Area, but both grew up as huge 49ers fans. And in my house at home, I've got a couple jerseys signed by Joe Montana. I've got one jersey signed by Montana and Dwight Clark, and a helmet all signed by them, and a couple footballs, and you know, I got a couple things signed from the catch that they made. I mean, so it goes back pretty deep with me with the 49ers. And earlier this year, getting to work the Monday Night Football game on the sidelines was just a dream come true. And then I just found out a couple days ago, going to work the sidelines of the Super Bowl for the radio station of the 49ers, KNBR. And to go to a Super Bowl first is going to be unbelievable. To go and my Niners playing is going to be even wilder, but to be on the sidelines will be something I'll never forget.
That is absolutely massive that you're going to be there, and this will be your first ever Super Bowl?
Yeah, first ever Super Bowl. I'm taking Tommy DeLago with me again, and we'll be doing the same thing. So if you look on the sideline, and it was great on Twitter last time because I had fans from all over the place were pausing their TVs when you'd see me on the sidelines, and they were tweeting pictures of me on the sidelines. So Tommy and I are both going to be holding those parabolic microphones, those big dishes, and we'll be on opposite sidelines, and then we're going to swap sides at halftime like we did at the Monday Night Football game. So keep an eye out for me and my black shirt with my Napa logo on it.
Ron is going to be in charge of this, folks. He's going to get that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's cool is that, you know, I'm holding that microphone. I've got a headset. So it's amazing what you can hear of those things. You know, there's a reason people, you probably wonder at home, and I always did, are those things necessary? But when you're really watching a good game on a good telecast, you can hear the quarterback calling the snaps and stuff. It is that good. I mean, I can hear conversations going on between linemen. So it's pretty neat.
Very, very cool. And now we know in advance to keep an eye out for you. You know, five Super Bowls you've had, Ron. That's your cup runneth over as in a football. I only have one beef with you, and that would be 1984 when my Miami Dolphins and Dan Marino went toe-to-toe with you guys. What do you remember of that one?
I remember the commercials more than anything else, but I remember Montana, and I remember I'm a huge Miami Dolphins fan. Larry Zonka was one of my favorite players, and Dan Marino was also, I really liked him a lot, so it was tough to cheer against Dan Marino, but he was so young at the time and new that I thought, man, that guy's going to have a chance to win lots of them, and we all know how that went, but he's kind of like Ed McCulloch. It's a guy that you thought had won title after title, but you don't think anything less of his career because he didn't win a title.
Absolutely, and maybe had Dan won that game, you would have been a big Dolphin fan right now.
No, I wouldn't go that far. I'd still be a Marino fan, but I bleed 49ers, orange, and red and gold, man, big time.
Very cool. Now, we got some interesting things going on here with the Har Bowl, so to speak. Brother versus brother. Now, you have a brother. You both race. What's that like going toe-to-toe, being competitive within the family? I'm sure you can draw some analogies.
Yeah, I know exactly what they're going through, and I know I've been reading about them texting each other and not talking on the phone, and it's the same with my brother. I mean, we're competitive as all can be. It's at anything. And I know, he's trying to get out full time with NHRA. And when he shows up at a race, I cheer for him, but I also know that I got a race against him. But anything we do, man, go-karting, anything. Anything to do with the house, whether it's a board game, it doesn't matter. We go, it gets pretty far. We're pretty competitive.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, it came out this week. This is something I didn't know. Maybe this was common knowledge out there, but it seems like it was pretty underground, at least the way people are reacting to the story, that Jim Harbaugh, coach of your Niners, is also the co-owner of the Panther Racing IndyCar team, and that he's a big IndyCar guy. And this is kind of, I don't know if it was well known or not. My question is, hey, he's obviously got an interest in racing, and maybe we can convert him. What do you think?
Well, no, we knew it. Actually, Tommy DeLago and I have been sending him invites out. You know, when he was at Stanford, we invited him out to the Sonoma race, and we also sent some invites last year. It just never falls on a good time, and he's never in the right spot. But I knew he was a gearhead. Tommy did, and I think some of the hardcore people, especially in IndyCar, knew that he was into that. He's definitely a gearhead. And talking to the KNBR radio guys we're doing the Super Bowl stuff with, they said he's a big-time gearhead as well. I think we'll get him out sometime. It's just got to be the timing right.
Well, that sounds good because you know and we all know that once you see NHRA drag racing in person, it will grab you.
Man, I'll tell you. I mean, I'd love to see it. I so much love seeing people come out for the first time. And a guy like that I look up to have him come out and really be the person that opened his eyes to something new and as cool as NHRA would be pretty neat.
Now, I have to ask you, though. You're poised on potentially a sixth Super Bowl, which the fans of most other teams are kind of grumbling right as we hear this right now. But what were your thoughts when they benched Alex Smith in favor of Colin Kaepernick, who we've seen now in front of the national stage really live up to it, make some huge plays? The guy's like the prototype quarterback of the future. Big, tall, fast, amazing. Like, it's incredible. I can now understand it. But at the time, what did you think about that deal?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we're fanatics. I know. I mean, I'm on their website. I'm reading stuff all the time. And you got to trust what he does because his past speaks for itself with what he did with Stanford and of course, what he's done with the Niners. And I'm sure everybody kind of shook their head, but I remember them putting Kaepernick in some of the preseason games, and you could tell that he had the potential. And what's funny now is people reading articles about how he was in college and how he competed, and now it all makes sense. And people make, you know, you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, oh, no wonder he did that. But it reminds me of Don Schumacher and some of these owners. That you make a decision, and a guy makes a decision like Don did with our team last year, or a certain move he makes with the team, and you don't quite understand it from an outsider, but you have to go with it and go with your gut. And I think that's what Harbaugh did. I'll tell you, I was on the sideline for that Monday Night Football game we did, and we watched warm-ups, and Harbaugh is in getting snaps, and he competes with the quarterbacks almost during warm-ups at throwing the receiver passes. It was Kaepernick, Alex Smith, and Harbaugh, and he jumps in. And dude, you'd think that Harbaugh was still trying out for the quarterback position. He gets so into it. So it just gives you an idea that he really knows those guys and can tell. And it's unfortunate that Alex got hurt in the concussion, but it's also fortunate that Kaepernick got put in there. And it's a great story, man, just to watch what's going to possibly happen to this kid being put on the stage like it's going to be put on.
Absolutely huge. Now, you mentioned you're going to be at the game. Are you at all bummed out that you're not going to get to see the Kate Upton commercial that everybody is talking about?
No, I don't even know about it.
Ah. What? The sexiest commercial in the history of all commercials. Kate Upton and Mercedes something. She's washing a car. Who knows?
Awesome. I'm going to set my DVR. I'm still going to watch it. Trust me.
Oh, I believe it. Now, let's talk a little bit about your test down at PBIR. We didn't run into each other. I was there a couple of days running around. You appeared to have
a pretty... I saw you. You're cheating on me.
You saw me.
Talking to all those other drivers.
She didn't say hi?
Yeah, I saw you.
Oh, I see how it is.
We were towing up to the staging lanes, and I saw you standing outside of Coletta's pit area, probably waiting for an interview with that hero.
I probably was. I spoke with Doug. I didn't speak with Ron. Well, we're speaking now. And how did it go? Would you consider the test a success?
Yeah. Even though it rained out that Saturday, I was, Joe, and I, you were there Friday as well, right?
Yes, I was there Friday. I was doing the announcing.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Well, for the fans listening, man, I cannot, first of all, I want to thank everybody, but I cannot believe the people that showed up there on Friday. I mean, they had to open the gates early because it started getting backed up there. And I'll tell you, coming, and I can speak for every other team member and driver there, we were kind of open-jawed, like, wow, we didn't expect that many people to show up. And that was really something that made us all feel good. But anyway, for our Napa team, we brought everything brand new. When Pomona ended last year, Tobler put that car away that we almost won the championship with. They serviced it and put it upstairs complete, ready to run. And we had a new brand new DSR car built. So everything we had when we showed up testing was brand new. And it took a couple days for Tobler to get a handle on it. And then we started reeling off the 406s and 407s, and he was getting more comfortable with it. So I would say Tober is comfortable, and that makes me comfortable. And I would say it was a success for our Napa team. It was years past, we've gone there to practice more than test things. And this year it was really a lot more testing. So I think it was a good deal. And it was a good deal for my teammates. I know Hagen's real comfortable now. And I think overall a lot of teams got a lot accomplished there this year.
Very cool. And yes, I always talk about it. We are down here in South Florida, a drag racing type community. Intense event, short attention span, all of these things. It really speaks to our people down here in South Florida. And so if this event continues to grow, as I imagine it will, in a few years, it's going to be pretty darn big. And yes, super bummer that we got rained out on Saturday.
Yeah, it was. It was pouring, and it was unfortunate. I went out, you know, I had some stuff left over from last year, some boots I wore and gloves, and so I went out to where the fans were at the gate and just started handing stuff out to some kids and stuff out there, and then signed autographs just for a few. I mean, it was the least that we could do for the people that showed up. I know they were pretty bummed out that a lot of them drove up from Miami and down from even as far as Atlanta, so, you know, it's the least we could do. But it was, all in all, just a great week, and I'll tell you, the people that run the track, the guys putting the track surface together and all the track guys that, that made it a good track. It's funny how you got all these different teams and people we race against, working together to make, the test as good as it was. And it was fun. It really made it fun to pull up there, get in your car and make a run and go right back to the pit area.
Now, obviously, they're your arch nemesis over at John Force Racing, but that side-by-side 01-02 with Courtney and Robert, that might have turned some heads in the pit area. What'd you think of that?
Well, I mean, we've known that they were capable. I know, you know, end of the year, Courtney's the one that, that beat us there in the semifinals. She potentially had one of the quicker cars the last couple races of the season, and for that matter, a lot of the season. And Force, man, he's got that that vigor again. He's got Zippy on his crew chief on his car, and it's gonna be, you know, we do this every year. We go through, and plus, look at Chad Head. He won't even be at Pomona or Phoenix, but he was throwing down too. So it's gonna be fun. These guys, these crew chiefs amaze me. I don't care what teams they to show up like that in the off season and lay in bed and think of new things to come up with within the rules, and they go out there and throw runs down side by side like that was it's pretty impressive stuff.
Now, last year, the championship run, the 2 points, the way it all ended, I remember seeing you in the media room and obviously had the look of someone who had no idea what to say, and then you kind of said what needed to be said, like, you know, it's cool, man, and I felt much better, thank you so much. But going through the championship fight, coming so close, we mentioned Dan Marino, resetting again for 2013, the first year of Mellow Yellow. How are you feeling going after it one more time?
Well, I feel good. You know, the change that Don made last year, it's something that was out of my control and Jack's control, and it's amazing how I was so happy for the guys that were my crew guys, that were my family for all those years. So it was bittersweet, but I'll be honest with you, Joe, it's like the past where I've lost the championship on the last day of the season. I was over it a couple days after that. I really, I was so happy with what our team did and what everybody accomplished, even though we lost the championship. That, and I just feel like the same team coming back, and Tobler and I have such a great relationship that, you know, we're gonna have lots more wins and hopefully a championship. And listen, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I don't think people think any less of me or my team or Tobler. I'm gonna have a lot of fun, and it's going to be good for Napa, good for our team, especially good for Don Schumacher, and we'll see what happens. This countdown, you know, it doesn't matter how good you are all season. If you're hot in the countdown, you're going to win the championship, and it's 6 races, it's going to be a lot of teams. It's going to be a fight just to get into the countdown once again, so fans are in for the best season yet.
You're in a different place this year, though, coming in off an incredibly strong performance. Kind of knowing, I guess it can go any way. I've seen great combinations go out and have a problem for whatever reason, but I would bet against that happening in this case. You started the season a little rough last year, then got going really good once the crew chief change happened, and we're strong. You don't come close 2 points away from a championship without being strong, and starting off the season with that kind of momentum has got to feel good.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's funny. I read some of the stuff on the internet, and there's just some idiots out there that write stuff that they have no idea what they're talking about, about making the change or having Ron put on my team because it was something that I maybe demanded or something. And people have to realize, like I said, Jack had no call in it. Tober didn't have any say in it, and I didn't have any say in it. It was something Don did, and I'm glad he did. I mean, I'm looking forward to the future with Ron Tober, but you got to remember last year, Joe, I bet you if you went back and pulled out your tapes, I'll bet I was pretty darn excited to have Tim Richards calling the shots on my car. I mean, that was an amazing guy to work with. And so I think looking back, you know, I've only had a few crew chiefs in my career and guys that I look up to immensely, and I think it's just a new chapter in my career. But I was pretty excited last year as well, but I just, like you said, coming off the season we came off of, nothing to hang your hat. We didn't lose by smoking the tires at semifinals. You know, that excites me about the following year. But you go back and look at the times we've talked. I've had Ed McCulloch, and I've had Tim Richards, and now Ron Tober calling the shots. And you can't – those are some of the biggest names ever to call a shot on a nitro car. And so, again, I'm excited, but you never know what's in store.
You got to win them and lose them on the racetrack, and it won't be long. Pomona is right around the corner. What about Napa, Ron? We've seen you do commercials with Michael Waltrip. We've seen you singing the past couple of years. Anything new on that aspect? Are we going to see Ron Capps doing anything new and funny on television this year?
Well, yeah. I think the fans are going to love it. The cool part is that it's back to being where it's Martin Truex and I and Michael all in the same commercial. And there'll be two or three of them that we did. And what's really neat about it is, like, the first few years of Napa, they're going to air during the NASCAR races on network TV, you know, and then also during our drag races. So it'll be a lot of cross promotion, and a lot of eyes being opened up in NASCAR about our drag race program, which I think helps NHRA. And the commercial this year, I won't be singing, but I can't give away the ending and who's in it, but I can tell you it's pretty cool to meet the guy that was in a movie that you and I, when we were growing up, is in, and it's an iconic part, and he's in the end of a couple of them that we shot, and I can't give it away yet, but the whole way that they ran the commercials this year, that the theme is going to be something really cool that's really going to get the fans involved, and they're funny, and it's going to be cool. I think they start maybe Daytona weekend, probably not Pomona, but look for the Daytona 500 for the commercials to hit, and I know our fans will love them.
Very cool. Very exciting. Something to look forward to. And yes, they bust out the great commercials from the racing side of the world in the Daytona 500 right after the Super Bowl. And you know, Ron, now that it's all over, the singing campaign was not my favorite.
Dude, it was not mine either. Trust me. I never watched the show Glee, but I've seen, you know, parts of it. And when they came up with a script, I said, oh my gosh, what are we doing? They were fun. The fans, you know, seemed to like them, but I'm with you, man. It was not one of my favorite commercials to do.
Back to what works. I like it. Well, Ron, I wish you luck this weekend holding the mic. Stay out of the way of those giant guys out there because they're huge. But being on the sideline for the Super Bowl, very cool. Talking about the Niners. Now, I almost don't know if I want to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm rooting for the Ravens.
Why do you got to go there?
I'm just because, you know, because it's like we got guys talking about the big game. Here's why.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I like
tell
Ed Reed.
Why.
I'm a big University of Miami football fan. I know you guys got Frank Gore, which is very cool, UM alum. But, you know, the Ray Lewis and the Ed Reed and the Baltimore and the toughness and the 1984 Super Bowl has soured me a little. So I'm going Ravens. Sorry.
No, I hear you. And you know what? I'm a fan too. John Jones, the fighter, his brother plays on the Ravens, and Ed Reed seems like a great guy. I love the fact that there's no drama and no superstar type of guys that are looking out for themselves in this year's Super Bowl. It's a bunch of team guys that bring it, and it's going to be fun to watch them on the game. So, how about a dollar wager? How about that?
Let's do it. All right.
All right.
Because, you know, me being a Dolphin fan, I'd like to wait until the Dolphins play the Niners in the Super Bowl again, but we may both no longer be here at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Might as well take my opportunity right now. Ron, thank you for coming on the show. Enjoy the Super Bowl, the Har Bowl. You are going to be there, and you're going to be like quasi-working, holding the mic. I think it's great. And then a couple weeks from now, I will see you in Pomona. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
You bet it, Joe. Thank you.
Ron Capps with us here on WFO Radio. And how about Ron going to be on the sidelines for the big game? Him and Tommy DeLago holding those big microphones, getting in on the action, watching Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers go toe-to-toe with the Baltimore Ravens. And the NFL makes it so easy. When we had Tom Compton on the show last year, I asked him about what anyone models themselves after, what you would like to emulate. And he said, let's be very honest, the NFL. And I felt very strongly about that answer because it's obvious. And the fact that everyone recognizes they've done a great job. Even for me, I could have gotten Ron a little bit right at the end with a little Cross Bay rivalry. With the music of NFL films. They have music. Teams have themes. Theme songs. And everybody who knows and watches the game knows that this is the autumn wind of the Raiders. And of course, if you're a Niners fan, you cross the bay, you probably bristle at just hearing this a little bit. The Raiders. And they make it easy because there is just so much, whether it be videos or clips or whatever it happens to be, you can go all out with the NFL, even if you don't know what you're doing. See, me, on the other hand, I'm a Dolphin fan, and I'm not going to play the Dolphins fight song because I don't think the audience is too into the banjo. We like it down here, though. And it's different when you're a Dolphin fan. See, this is the kind of conversation I would have had with my buddy John Knapp. Did PR from KB Racing, passed away last year. John was the only other Dolphin fan that I knew of out in the NHRA world. And we would talk about our just the downtime we're in right now, the downtime. See, if Caps beats me in the bet, it's okay because I'm only pulling for the Ravens because my team is at home and has been at home since 1984. But I was born into an aura of perfection. And maybe even to this day, I wonder, maybe that's my problem, because being born into, as a Dolphin fan, into this aura of perfection, something that no other team has been able to duplicate in all these years, is kind of a pretty big deal. Don Shula, class. Larry Zonka, toughness. Bob Greasy, and then here comes Dan Marino with a laser rocket arm. He's the top gun. And the Marx Brothers, and they're scoring on every play. Third and 27. Touchdown. It was unbelievable. I can't even begin to explain it to you. And thus now we've had 20 years of just dryness. Nothing has happened, and I've had to root for other teams in the Super Bowl. But we will be back. One day, the Miami Dolphins will. And on that day, I will bust out the banjo theme song. But not until then. Because I do want to keep you guys coming back on a regular basis. The NFL does have their marketing down, though. They do have it right. And there's a lot of interesting things, including, we're talking commercials with Ron. It's a big part of it. I like to watch the commercials. I am all about checking out the commercials, checking out the game, all the different various gambling with the boxes and whatnot. Maybe NHRA teams need theme songs. You know, when you pull up, everybody gets your own song. Like fighters coming into the ring. I'm just thinking out loud here, folks. Just thinking out loud. Speaking of which, we're going to hear from Erica Enders coming up in a little bit on the show. Erica is going to join us. Going to catch up with Erica, talk about the off-season, what she do. She got married. Erica Enders Stevens. They went to Hawaii. I know we've got some big listeners out there, Bill and his crew out there in Hawaii. This is from South Park, of course. We're going to speak with Erica, find out what's up with her program, what's going on over there. I also want to get into the whole digital national dragster a little bit more. Because that's got some people's feathers ruffled. They don't know. Is it a step forward? Is it a step back? I'll give you my thoughts in more detail coming up at the tail end of the show. But right now, this is a good opportunity. Open a browser. Get ready. You can go to NHRA.com. You can go to their Facebook page. You can go to ESPN.com. They have a thing going. They want you to go to ESPN.com to vote for the greatest athlete. And ESPN has got a thing up. They're trying to decide the greatest auto sports athlete in the framework of a bigger ladder of greatest athletes of all time. And so in their five-choice, multiple-choice question, they have Michael Schumacher, they have Dale Earnhardt, they have Jimmy Johnson, they have Mario Andretti. They also have A.J. Foyt. All very worthwhile nominees for greatest auto sports athlete of all time. The people at NHRA and I certainly took notice to the fact that there are no NHRA drivers represented, which is a bummer. It would have been nice to get an NHRA guy on the list. Maybe their poll only had five choices, but you can write in your pick. But here's the deal. If everybody writes their own thing, it's not going to be nearly as powerful as if everybody agrees on one thing to write. If you write Bob Glidden and I write Lee Shepard and someone else writes Warren Johnson, someone writes Dave Schultz, it's not going to matter. Everybody's going to cancel themselves out. Big Daddy, the Snake, Shirley, we've got to decide on one name to rival these other names, to write in our vote. At very least, when all is said and done, ESPN will say, this driver also got a lot of votes from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, which will be nice. So who are we going to pick? That's the question. We've got to pick one guy and put all of our force behind that person. Speaking of force, my initial thought was John Force. And I was going to make a very compelling argument as to why. Name recognition, championships, the guy that really has elevated drag racing to the level it is at right now. But I was recently made aware of the nature of the contest, that it is the best athlete in the group. And John is not an athlete. John is a racer. And it makes it very difficult for drag racing. Which one? Heart rate. This has to do with the sports science. Heart rate and the control of the body and the body manipulation athletically. And so, who can we pick? That being a very unique and important distinction for this contest, I think, after weighing it, who is the best athlete right now? I think we have no choice because of his background as a sprinter, qualifying for the Olympic trials, and winning a championship recently, plus pretty strong name recognition right now. We should go with Antron Brown. How about that? Again, I'm just offering up my thought and advice. If everybody writes in their own different drag racer, it's just going to be a bunch of spam emails to ESPN. If the drag racing community coalesces around one choice that they feel is the best athlete amongst our guys, who is the best athlete amongst the drag racers? That is the question. Now, as I understand it better, the more I understand the contest. Now, who is the best drag racer of all time, or who is the most well-known drag racer of all time, or who is the most successful drag racer of all time? All of that is John Force. This is, of the drag racers, which among them is the best athlete, has the best athletic prowess? And I would say Antron Brown. I think there are some others that could be considered, but when push comes to shove, if you're talking about athletes in the bunch, Mario, AJ, were they great athletes? I don't know, but they controlled their bodies physically. Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt, I think Johnson, and I think Schumacher are the best athletes in the group of race drivers. Who controls their body? Who manipulates their heart rate? Who can handle the stress and pressure and control themselves and manipulate their bodily functions? I'm going Antron Brown. You can do whatever you want. That is the WFO radio pick. Now, when we come back, we're going to hear from Erica Enders. Erica got married. She's now Erica Enders Stevens. Erica went to Hawaii. Erica is getting ready for the 2013 Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season, and we're going to catch up with her, find out who she's rooting for in the big game. The big game, the Super Bowl, the commercials, all of it. We're going to hear from Erica, and then later on in the show, I'm going to talk about the new wave of national dragster, the big change, and people are concerned. What does it all mean? What does it all mean? I'll give you my WFO perspective when we return, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
I am the greatest.
WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
It's all over. Three straight championships.
Hey, Joe, this is Corey Mihalik of Mihalik Brothers Racing. Kyle and I wanted to call and congratulate you and your team on winning your third consecutive CompetitionPlus.com Internet Radio Show of the Year award. No one deserves it more than you guys.
Craig from Seattle, WFO Radio. Three-peat. Three-peat.
WFO, Joe. This is Bobby from the Bayou. Hey, winning one time, that just shows the newness and the freshness of the show. Second time, maybe a little bit of the same thing, but the third time to win it is just strictly WFO.
Back to back to back.
Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Ah, rumble, young man, rumble. Ah.
The one. The only WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The greatest of all time, of all time.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School.
The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, moving through this edition, and I know everybody's excited about the Super Bowl and the Har Bowl, and I've already got a $1 bet with Ron Capps, which I feel like I'm going to get it. You know, the Ravens, man, the Ravens, they're comprised mostly of University of Miami football players, and so, although San Fran has some too as well, I got to go with the AFC. That's just me, though. That's me. But within this whole chaos of the Super Bowl, we also know that the drag racing season grows ever closer, and we are getting ready for the Winter Nationals, and has me thinking a little bit about pro stock. And so we reached out on this NHRA Nitro episode to one of last year's standout drivers. Joining us now, Erica Enders Stevens. Erica, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. How you been?
I have been great. I had a great Christmas. I had a great New Year's. The beginning of January has been great. A lot of greatness going on over here. What about you?
Well, same thing. It's been a really great off season. It's been longer than I remember the past ones being, but I think that's just because I've been in one place longer than I ever have been consecutively, so I'm just ready to get going.
I can imagine. I think we're all very excited. Just so many things. Mellow Yellow coming on board. What's everything going to look like? What's it going to be like? A lot of changes. So I think it's exciting. But speaking of exciting, before we get into the racing side of it, you had a big offseason for a different reason. I mentioned the hyphenated name, Enders Stevens. You are now married. Off the market.
It's official. Yep. December 7th, we got married in Houston, and it was awesome. I mean, we've been together a really long time, and not much has changed, but I'm just excited about the new adventure, I guess.
And how did it all go? You have a new On the Run column in the brand newly styled National Dragster, which is something that everyone is buzzing about. And so I got to kind of see what you did on your honeymoon. Sounded like the wedding went very well, smoothly.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty flawless, which, you know, a lot of people offered up advice and that things weren't going to go perfectly and to not let it ruin our day. And you know, I just kind of went in with the mindset of whatever happens, happens, and nothing's going to ruin this for us. And actually, nothing happened. So it was a pretty perfect day. We couldn't have asked for better weather. You know, we don't get very crazy winters in Texas, but we did have an outside wedding at the country club, and it was beautiful. The weather was perfect. Right at sunset, the sunset was gorgeous, and I couldn't ask for a better day. It was pretty awesome.
Now, I'm going to have to rely on you to be my proxy here, because I do not see myself sitting in an airplane long enough to get to Hawaii. I don't know if I can. We've got big WFO listeners out there. Bill has got a whole crew of people that listen to this show on a weekly basis out there in Hawaii. But I don't know if I could ever make it. You made it. How was it?
It was fabulous. I had gone a long time ago with my parents. I think I was like a freshman in high school, and we just took a family Christmas vacation there, and Ricky and I have been talking about it for years, and, you know, we've done the Mexico thing a number of times, and Aruba, and Hawaii was just on our list, and we figured let's just do it for for our honeymoon, and I can't fly that long in coach especially, so we cashed in our miles and were able to fly first class out there and back, and it was just a really great trip. The weather was nice. My brother hooked us up with some rooms at the Ritz-Carlton, and it was just a really nice getaway. Like, we shut our cell phones off. I didn't answer emails for 7 whole days, which I've never done before, and it was just very nice.
Very cool. And you did some cool tourist-type things, and just judging from what I see, what is this Road to Hana? That sounds very cool.
It is retarded. I don't know. I wouldn't do it again, but the Road to Hana is like, we rented a Jeep, and it's about a 3 to 4 hour ride up the mountain, and you can only go between like 10 and 20 miles an hour because of all the switchbacks, and I mean, there's no guard walls, and it's crazy, the cliffs that go down to the beaches, and I mean, it's very beautiful, but it was a long, windy trip, and when I don't drive, I get car sick, so it was a little interesting, but saw lots of really pretty waterfalls. We went to a black sand beach. We scaled this freaking cliff to go see like a red sand beach, and it was insane. It's something that I've never done before and probably won't do again, but we took a million pictures, and it was really pretty.
Sounds like something out of Ice Road Truckers.
Exactly, yeah. And it rained the whole way up there, but once we got there, it was perfect.
Minus the ice, of course. I just meant the dangerous road for the listeners out there who are getting after me about that. And you were in a submarine. How about that?
Yeah, we went in a submarine. We went whale watching. We went snorkeling at Molokini Island, which is like this crest of a dormant volcano, and it kind of serves as like a reef for a bunch of fish. And we saw sharks, and I don't know, we just tried to be tourists because, I mean, yeah, we travel a lot and we're really blessed to get to see new places every weekend, but for the most part, it's airport, racetrack, restaurant, hotel, repeat times 4 days in a row. So it was really cool to not have a schedule, and we were just able to play tourist for a week. So we ate, we looked up when we got there. We both loved to go out to eat, so we found like the restaurants with the best reviews, and we went and we had tremendous seafood, and walked around and shopped, and were lazy and laid on the beach, and it was just nice. It was really nice.
Were you recognized? Did you run into any Pro Stock fans out there?
I did, which I was kind of surprised by. Like, as soon as we got off the plane, we were hauling our baggage out of baggage claim to the rental car, and this guy like walks past, and he's like, Erica Enders, and I'm like, what the heck? I like turned around, and he's like, you had a great season. We're really proud of you. Keep up the good work. And like, he just kept walking, and I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. And like a couple other occasions, Richie and I were both recognized, which was really surreal, kind of weird, but very cool. I mean, yeah. You're a 12-hour flight from home, and people know who you are.
Yes, you're obviously doing something right when that is happening. On a regular basis, especially out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Now let's focus a little bit on racing. Obviously, last year you had a breakout year. It was incredible, and people still talking about it. And now, having that under your belt, the knowing, just the difference from last year, wondering, boy, I would love to win my first race, to now knowing you can win your first race. How is that changing your attitude as you prepare for the start of 2013?
Well, last season was just like a dream come true for me in so many ways. I mean, we've been working really hard, as you know, for a really long time, and I think 2011 was just kind of a bad luck season for us. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong to stop us from finally making that history and getting the monkey off of our back, but we got it done last year, you know, and my team worked so well together, and I've told you that a million times. You know, led up by the legend Dave Connolly and Tommy Utt, and I love my guys, and we have a great time together, and I think that's why we're able to be so successful. But to get it done and move on and focus on what lies ahead of us, I mean, we were a contender last year for the championship right up until the last two races, and, you know, we let it slip through our fingers, and it was our own fault, but, you know, we've got 2013 ahead of us, and we're really optimistic about what's to come, and I couldn't be more excited.
Now, you've got some moving parts going on that things are in play, and so we can't really give definites because they're not definite yet. And so I want my listeners to understand that, yet and still, you have made some moves during this offseason. Let's start out with the fact that you guys were able to purchase Ron Krischer's stuff. That's some Class A equipment, and you guys are working on getting Richie back out there, something we've all been wanting to see for a while.
Yeah, it's been a really exciting and crazy offseason as far as business goes. Ron Krischer, like everybody was like, is he coming back? Is he not? And he put his stuff up for sale, and Richie and I jumped on that, and I've took a lashing on the message boards about, oh, she's leaving Victor again, blah, 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 why is she so stupid? And those were the nicer comments, but what people don't understand is we're trying to build a future here. It's not for me. That car, that operation is for Richie. We're trying to secure the funding for him to be a team car to us. I mean, ideal situation, obviously, we would be teammates. He would rent motors from Victor, but, of course, all of that takes money. So we're just taking it one step at a time and trying to piece together the season for him. My program stays the same. I'm not leaving Victor. It was our choice to go back with him after the Slammers thing went out the window in 2006, and I was forced to go on my own. So a lot of people don't understand, and we were able to find the funding with my dad and Gus and Kirby and come back to be with Victor. So that's going to stay the way it is as long as I can make that happen, because I love it there. I love Vic. He's a really great Christian man who's very compassionate, and I couldn't be happier. So, yeah, we purchased the stuff from Krischer and working on Richie's deal, and I'm very excited.
And is it obviously the deal side of it is what's very hard. I hear it all the time on this show. There's contracts signed, and then it doesn't happen. It doesn't go down. Will we see Richie at Pomona? Will we see Richie? Is there any race that you've got locked in as a definite Richie race just yet? Or is it still kind of open as you guys work out these details?
Pomona and Phoenix, I believe, are out. Just because they're so quickly approaching, but Gainesville is a realistic goal for his deal. We're hopeful to get that done, get everything branded, team shirts, crew set up. As you know, all that takes a lot of time, and every year the season creeps up on us. So the goal is Gainesville. We'll see what happens. There's no contract in place. I've learned over the years that whether you sign your name or you shake your hand, it doesn't matter. People, I've been on the bad end of that deal a number of times, so I've been really fortunate with Gaston and my dad and GK Motorsports and Zaza and whatnot, that it's just been, he's a man of his word, and he's done everything he said he's going to do. And, when we were with the Slammers deal, that was like contracted up to the nines, and everything fell through. So, it is what it is, and you do your best to make it work.
I'm learning through this show, and I learn from everybody, and when I speak with you and all these other drivers who are making their living in this business, that the deal is never done until the money is in your account. And even then,
exactly,
it's still not done. And the other thing I've learned, but this I knew already, was stay away from the message boards.
Stay away from what?
The message boards.
Yeah.
that's where the poison is, on the message boards.
It's terrible. I stay away from it as much as I can, but people send me emails with links, and it's crazy what people say. I could never imagine writing such evil things about someone I've never met before, but, whatever. They don't have anything better to do with their lives, I guess.
Well, there's a word for it. They call them the trolls, internet trolls that hide behind the net. Hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and by all means, post away.
Absolutely, yep.
But, it's better when you stand behind what you say and have a real conversation as opposed to just posting things. Now, we've talked about Richie, we talked about the honeymoon, let's talk about your potential championship run. I understand you'll be starting the season with the Cobalt, but with a Camaro soon to come at some point.
Right. We've built the Camaro in-house with, headed up by Todd Beavis in our chassis shop, and we're excited to get that on the track to test it. But, things took a little longer than expected this off season, and just the way the business model's lined out, it didn't come on our schedule, but that's all right. We'll figure it out when we get the opportunity, but we're not going to take a new car that's not proven to a race that accumulates points for the championship. We've just got to figure it out, and we'll bring it out when we have it figured out. And that's not something that we wanted to do, but we've discussed it with GM, and everything's okay. So we'll take my bad hot rod back to Pomona. Still be the Cobalt, but it's a proven car. It's a great car, and we've done some good together. So I'm excited to get back in her, and we'll figure the Camaro out in between races.
So that's a totally new chassis, new pipe and everything, because I was under the impression towards the tail end of last year, and I don't know where I got this, but maybe you were going to just rebody the chassis you already had that is the Cobalt. You guys did not do that.
We did not do that. We left my car as it was just because it's a great car. We didn't want to mess it up in case the new Camaro didn't work out as quickly as we wanted to. I mean, a lot of other teams had trouble with them and, had to work through the issues, but nonetheless have figured them out and are running better than we are. So we just didn't want to be completely behind the eight ball. I mean, we'll just leave the car that works in one piece. And we actually took a chassis that was already built at our shop that's got less than 50 runs on it, and put a Camaro body on it. So it is a new car. It does have a handful of runs on it, but completely new Camaro body.
Very, very cool and very exciting heading into 2013 and pursuit of that first Mellow Yellow Championship. Whoever wins the first, that's certainly going to be special. Erica, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. We heard about Hawaii and all that. What about the Super Bowl this weekend? First of all, are you a football fan? Second of all, if you are, who do you like?
I love football. I've
You're from Texas. What am I saying? Friday Night Lights. Of course you love football.
I know.
You have to love football.
And an Aggie at that, so football's always been a part of me. But when my Texans lost to the Dagum Patriots a couple weeks ago, I like Kaepernick as the 49ers, but they beat our Saints last year, so I'm going to go ahead and pull for Lewis in his final season and go with the Ravens.
There you go. That's where I am. I just made a bet with Ron Capps for a buck.
$1?
One whole dollar. Yes, American. All of it.
Awesome.
Yeah, big players we are, big high rollers in this show. And it's going to be a great game, though. The Har Bowl, the brother versus brother, and there's a little motorsports tie as Jim owns an IndyCar team, so kind of cool tie. And I hear Cap says he's going to be on the sideline holding the microphone.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so that's cool.
We got something to look for.
Hit him up since he's going to be in our city. But we were down in the French Quarter this past weekend. We went to have breakfast with some friends, and it is crazy down there. There are so many people that are already in town. They've set up so many different things already with NFL, and the Superdome has gone through a bunch of renovations, and everything looks great. I'm really excited that we're going to host it here, and hopefully everything goes well. The Humphreys, you remember Justin Humphreys?
Yes.
And his wife Gina and his parents, I think, because they're from Baltimore and their Ravens are in the game, so they're all going to come down this weekend, and it should be a fun time.
It will be, and I don't know that too many people understand. You obviously understand what it's like to live in the host city, and Miami, of course, hosts every few years, and so it's great. Even when your team is not in the Super Bowl, of course it would be fantastic if it was. Me being a Dolphin fan, my hopes are not up, but it's a fun time for everything. There's so much to do.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot going on.
Absolutely.
It'll be a great weekend.
But just a precursor to the Winter Nationals coming up in a few weeks, and NHRA kind of has that atmosphere, the excitement to every national event they go to, and of course looking to grow and develop even more, which is what Mellow Yellow 2013 is all about. Erica, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great catching up with you.
Yeah, you too, Joe. I appreciate the phone call.
No problem. Thank you so much, and I will see you in Pomona in a few weeks.
Sounds great.
Erica Enders with us here on WFO Radio. Erica Enders Stevens with us here on WFO Radio. And, of course, we'll get used to that. All the changes happening in 2013 with the NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing season. Very, very exciting. I'm very much looking forward to it. The Winter Nationals right around the corner. I will be there. Are you going to be there? Because if you're going to be there and I'm going to be there, we should hang. And that is the plan. So follow me on Twitter or like us on Facebook, and we'll try to hook up out there in Pomona for the start of a new era in drag racing history. Erica's going to be there. Ron Capps is going to be there. We're going to have a great time, and hopefully you will be there as well. If you've got questions for Alan Reinhart, call him in, 954-889-6796. The next couple of weeks, we got to grill this guy with questions. Going to be very cool and a lot of fun. Of course, I hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl this weekend. Now, I have mentioned that I wanted to talk about National Dragster a little bit more in depth. If you're not a member of the NHRA and don't get National Dragster on a regular basis, it really is the Bible of drag racing. The guys over there, Phil Burgess, and they do a great job of keeping this sport going. And I really think that National Dragster has been a backbone of the sport for a long period of time. But now they are changing and morphing a little bit. And I think it's got some people a little worried. They don't know what to make of it. Whether it's a good move or it's a bad move, is this part of the trend of magazines and newspapers shutting down in this all-digital world and should be viewed negatively? Or should it be viewed positively as a new reaffirmation of the all-digital world that everything is going to? And so allow me to give my own perspective. WFO Radio started digitally 4 years ago, following my time on XM, and we spent a lot of time pioneering there. Niche programming to very select audiences, NASCAR radio. And I thought to myself, well, the net is not nationwide. The internet is worldwide. And you can expand your audience in a way that you just can't do with any other medium. So right there, it's a positive. Then you add these devices, like what I hold in my hand, this iPhone 4S or the Android phones, and the fact that WFO Radio was one of the very first to have an application out there was huge because you take it with you wherever you go. And that is a huge aspect of the digital world. Now, I know there's some people out there who are very resistant to change. They're very resistant to something new. They're very resistant and they're proud of the way they resist. Oh, that newfangled thing, I don't need it because I'm just the old stuck in my ways person. And it's almost a funny thing to say. And what I'm telling you is, well, first of all, if you're listening to this show, you're probably not that guy. You're listening to drag racing motorsports talk radio, either through an iPhone, Android phone, or on the internet. Even if you're sitting in front of your antiquated desktop computer, you're still listening on the internet. So you get it. You understand what it's all about. And if National Dragster can move to that world, of course, NHRA.com has been around for a long time, but we can start getting more of that quicker, easier, and with us all the time. That is the part of it that is so important. Here's an example. My birthday is coming up. I'm about to turn 40 years old. And so I went to the doctor. I was in the doctor's office today. I was in the doctor's office for 2 hours. If you follow me on Twitter, you could see I was entertaining myself by complaining. One of the big, big pastimes for people on Twitter, complaining. And I was complaining. Should I be here for 2 hours? Is 2 hours a long time? But during that 2 hours, I wasn't just tweeting. I was reading. I was catching up on the news. I watched the Miami Heat go to the White House yesterday. I caught up on a whole bunch of stuff. And accessing breaking news and stories about NHRA drag racing would be a great thing to do while I was waiting in the doctor's office. I did not have the foresight to bring my paper copy of the National Dragster with me to the doctor's office. But I did bring my communication device, my phone. And through my phone, I accessed all kinds of news. I learned about the acquisition of IHRA. I learned about a bunch of stuff. And that is exactly what we're talking about. There's only two ways to go. Forward or stop. You either adopt the technology, you move forward, you recognize the changing landscape of the world, and you embrace it. Or you get old. And that really, to me, in my experience, as I get old, is the difference. People who are eager to embrace the new, the next, the way things are, they stay up with the times. And the people who are like, well, I'm still waiting for my in the mail. When it comes, I'll find out about super gas. It just slows down. And so I wish the people at National Dragster good luck. And I can't wait to see the full implementation, how it works, to get used to it. I'm not all set up just yet. I got my paper copy. I saw Reinhardt's column right in the front, which is very cool. The edition looks beautiful. I can't wait to see the digital and electronic updates. That's what I am most excited about, because that is in step with what we believe here at WFO Radio. The Android application, the iPhone application, the fact you can carry it in your pocket wherever you are in the doctor's office. I could have been catching up on episodes of WFO Radio, but I've heard them all, as you can imagine. Thanks to Erica Enders Stevens. Thanks to Ron Capps. And thanks to Alan Reinhardt for coming on the show. I certainly appreciate it. Quick information about the WFO Radio NASCAR Fantasy Leagues. If you want in, you need to send us an email, fantasy@WFOradio.com. Fantasy@WFOradio.com. We are trying very hard this year to make sure all of our players are listeners, as opposed to people who just see it on Facebook and jump in the league. So we're asking you to email fantasy@WFOradio.com if you want in the league, and then we'll send you the code and you can get in on that. Also, speaking of the iPhone and Android phone application, I was on there reviewing some of the reviews, and the reviews are very important. So if you download the application and have yet to give us a review that is hopefully glaringly positive and excited and very up-tempo and upbeat, we would certainly appreciate that. What it does is it raises WFO in the standings, and then more people will see it, and more people will get on board with the show, and the drivers of NHRA will be more exposed to more fans. That is at least the theory that we have. A big thanks once again to Erica, to Ron, and to Alan. Super Bowl this weekend, and then it's racing season, baby. And that is what I'm talking about. I'm very excited to see how it all goes down. And we'll be back tomorrow night with WFO Radio Ignition, and then next week with another edition of NHRA Nitro. That's going to do it. Thanks to everyone, and we'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.